This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host by phone is Bridget Ayer.
Hey, great to be with you, everyone.
And Bridget, someday, hopefully very soon, we'll get back to having Bridget back in the studio here. We originally thought it would be like a week-to-week thing, and then it kind of got to be a month-to-month thing. Hopefully we're closer to a day-to-day thing now. Who knows?
Right. Well, today we are going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, and that is passing on the faith. And there's so many different ways as baptized Catholics that we are equipped to do this. But here to talk about this topic is Mother of Four and Catechist of the Good Shepherd, Karen Webb. Thanks for being with us. Welcome to Faith in Action.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I always enjoy talking about the Catechism of the Good Shepherd.
And what's wonderful, you have a really interesting background. A mutual friend introduced us or connected us. And tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, I always say mother of four because I think being a mother is really the most difficult job there is, in addition to being a father, I guess. And you need so many gifts and talents to do that. But you have a really very fascinating background. So tell us a little bit about your background, maybe your education, your family, and then maybe how you got into being a catechist.
I'd be happy to do that. My name is, again, like you said, Karen Webb, and I actually grew up here in Indianapolis. I went to St. Matthew's School on 56th Street and then on to Cathedral High School. And I always knew I wanted to go to the University of Notre Dame if I could get in. So I did that. And when I graduated from that, I went to Villanova University School of Law. And I thought I wanted to be a corporate lawyer. But that didn't last very long. I realized that it was a very fast-paced way of life and that I didn't really want to spend my life that way. So I ended up working for Cathedral High School, and I ended up in fundraising. So for my, quote, real job, the one that actually pays me some money, I am a grant writer, and so I write for nonprofits. Most of my clients currently are in Cleveland. My husband I met in 2002, and we got married in the Basilica at Notre Dame in February of 2002. And we moved to the east side of Cleveland almost within a year. We were in there by 2003, and there we were until basically July of 2019. So we were there more than 15 years. And that's where our four children are from, and they were all born there in our house in Chagrin Falls. And we just moved back to Carmel in July of 2019. When my husband and I were first married, we were members of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, probably at its busiest peak. It was right when St. Maria Goretti was getting started, and so the school was very overcrowded. And we knew when we came back that we probably would not be able to get our kids into Our Lady of Mount Carmel. And sure enough, we called, and they said they were full. And so we started looking at St. Louis de Montfort and St. Maria Goretti. But then we weren't able to get the kids into St. Louis de Montfort either. So we called back to Our Lady of Mount Carmel. It turned out they had two spots. And then they were able to find two more spots. And so we were able to get all four of our children into the parish that we were originally in when we were first dating back in 2002.
Wow. That's
which
really
is kind
awesome.
Of interesting. And so all of our kids go to Our Lady of Mount Carmel right now. My oldest son is Mick, and he is 13 and in the seventh grade. I have twins who are 9, Max and Mary Kate. And then I have Anna, who's 7 and in second grade, and unfortunately hasn't made her first communion because it was supposed to be last weekend.
I know. A lot of people are in that situation, all the people that were coming into the church. Well, tell us, Karen, we're talking with Karen Webb, and we're talking about the catechesis. That's right. The catechesis of the Good Shepherd. What is catechesis? And then tell us about that program and how you got involved in it.
Certainly. The word catechesis actually comes from the Greek word that means to echo the teaching. And so catechesis is actually the teaching of the faith. So all religious faith formations can be called catechesis. They just usually aren't called that. But the teaching of the faith is an interactive process in which the Word of God resounds between the proclaimer and the one receiving the message, and most importantly, the Holy Spirit. This is really important in the catechesis of the Good Shepherd because it's a religious formation that seeks to foster a loving relationship between the child and God. And the reason that this is so important is because the catechist is not a teacher. The catechist is a presenter. The catechist is a fellow learner. And the catechist is sort of a humble servant, preparing things to develop this relationship between the child and God. So
now,
I found out about...
Yeah, that was my next question. When did you come into contact with this, or how long have you been aware of this or using this?
So I started looking for things to teach my son about the faith. The Catholic Church always says, and always talks about the domestic church and the idea of the home as the domestic church, and the parent truly is the person that's responsible for the faith formation of the child. So even if you send your child to Catholic schools, or you send your child to fourth faith formation classes, it is still your responsibility as a parent to really build that child's faith life. And to me, that seems like such an awesome responsibility that I started looking for ways when my oldest child was just three, because he would squirm in mass, and I would see people with toys, I would see people with Cheerios, I would see people with books, and I was trying to figure out how to raise his interest, not so much necessarily in the mass per se, but in God and in being with God and learning about God. And, you know, so my oldest was born in 2007, and right then was sort of the heyday of blogging. Blogging's not as big now as it used to be, but at the time there were a lot of Catholic mothers that were blogging. Yeah. There were a lot of Catholic mothers that homeschooled and a lot of Catholic mothers that blogged. And so I started following a couple of the more famous ones now, like Elizabeth Foss, who's out of Virginia. She's an amazing homeschooler, and her kids did the catechesis of Good Shepherd. I also followed a woman whose kids go to a school called an Alleluia school, and they also had the catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And so that was the first time that I had ever heard of the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, and I was sort of following along, and what I found out was that it's sort of a Montessori-based approach to building this formation. And the thing that was really important to me about it was that it started at the age of three, because if you think about most faith formations in the Catholic Church, they don't start until the child's in school. So this starts when the child is three, and so it was a way to sort of bring your child into your faith even earlier. So I looked into it, but I wasn't able to find a program where I was that sort of fit our needs at the time. There was one in Cleveland, but it was down in Little Italy, and it was on Sundays, and that just, it didn't work for our family at that time. So fast forward about 5 years and a couple more kids, and I've got a five-year-old, two-year-olds, and a newborn. This woman came to our parish, and she had moved here from Kansas City, from Lawrence, Kansas. And she was a catechist of the Good Shepherd. And so she brought some of the materials, and she was trying to raise awareness in the parish about this formation. And I was like, that's it. I said, that's what I have wanted. That's what I've been trying to do for my children. And my oldest is now six or five. He's sort of past the starting point. But the rest of my kids are not. They're right in that mainframe. And I want this for them. So
we're talking with Karen. I want to interrupt you here for a second and reintroduce you here. So we're talking with Karen Webb, and we're talking about the catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And now, is this designed for really any parent, it's not necessarily for homeschoolers or Catholic schools or Catholic parish. Is it more for the domestic church? Can you explain that? Anyone can use it, right?
I sure can. Anyone can use it. You have to have training. So there's sort of three critical roles. There's the role of the catechist, the role of the child, and the role of the atrium. So you have to have an atrium, which is where the materials are for this program. So it would be difficult for you to have an actual atrium in your home and have all the materials. But we like to think of catechesis in the home as following through with some of the things that we're doing in the atrium. So it can be done in a parish school. It can be done in a parish faith formation program. And then it can be followed up with in the home. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. And if we have a few minutes left in the first segment of this, and we'll just go ahead and start on this. This is really not a new program. It's been around, since the 50s? Is that about right?
That's correct. It started in 1954 with a woman named Sophia Cavalletti. Sophia was a Hebrew scholar, and she really had no experience with children whatsoever. And this mother came to Sophia because she knew how about her studies, and she said, "I want you to give religious instruction to my son." And at first, Sophia was like, I don't know anything about kids. What would I do? But then she saw the boys, and she started reading, and it really changed her life. It gave her background in Scripture made it possible for her to talk about God to these children in a way that really opened and enthused them. And then she was joined by a woman named Gianna Gobbi, who has written a book called Listening to God with Children. And Gianna was very acquainted with the young child because she had worked with children in the classroom for about 15 years with Maria Montessori's efforts in religious work. And so some of the early works came from things that Maria Montessori had used, such as the model altar and the articles used at the Mass, the nativity scenes that are used for the infancy narrative. And it was an opportunity for Sophia and Gianna to work together with the children to have everyone learn about the religious potential of the child. It's always asking the question, what face of God is this child telling us he or she needs to see? And how do we respond to that question?
That's a great place to take a break. We want to talk some more about this when we come back, and we're talking with Karen Webb, so stay tuned for more.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley's in the studio. I'm calling in here. We're still recording from my closet, actually. My new place to record from, I guess. And we're talking with our guest today, also via phone, Karen Webb. She is a catechist of the Good Shepherd. And Karen, I want to ask you, there are different levels of this program that correspond with the different ages of the children. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure, I'd be happy to. Currently, there are three levels of the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, although there is some development in a fourth level for toddlers. Currently, all the training and all the classes start with the level one child, who is the 3 to 6 year old child. Basically, the idea behind this is that it's based on the phases of development of the child. So from the ages of 3 to 6, a child has a great desire for independence. They want you to teach me to do it myself. They want to learn how to tie their shoes and sweep and pour. They want to explore more than they really play with things. They look at everything. They see how things are. They have a great sense of order and routine. They'll do the same thing over and over again. My son at this age often lined up all his matchbook cars and got them in a order. Mm-hmm. They also have a very sensitive period for love and relationship. And so this is the ideal time to introduce them to God, because they're coming close to God. They're fulfilling a vital need that they have, a vital need to be in relationship. And they acquire a joy about them. It's not what I call a birthday party joy, you know, where you have a lot of cake and sugar and things, and everyone's almost spastic. They're so happy. This is a peaceful joy. We call it their body is happy. They might give a sigh of contentment. And it's only before 6 that they can truly give themselves fully to God in this way, and that's why this work is so important.
Now, Karen, what kind of materials do you use, especially for the younger kids? Are we talking about color books, story books? Well, what kind of materials are you talking about?
So the materials are called work, and no, they are not coloring books. We focus on what is very essential. So the first thing that we would incorporate is what we call practical life. And so that incorporates their three main needs, the movement, the order, and the independence. They learn how to pour. They learn how to fold. They learn how to sort. Now, I'm sure you're saying, what does this have to do with religious formation? Well, it teaches the child to be still and to be centered. Because as they are doing these activities over and over, they are finding order, and they're quiet, and they are centered on an activity, and they are able to listen to God. So as we introduce the practical life, then we also introduce what we consider the religious life. And they want to learn about what is most essential. They want to know that Christ is the light. And they learn that through things like baptism, where they receive the light of Christ. They want to learn that Christ is the good shepherd. We have a sheepfold with wooden sheep and a wooden shepherd. And as you recite the good shepherd parable, the sheep follow Christ because Christ knows them by name. And the kids are amazed that, and someday they will know that they are the sheep. But that is something for them to learn. It is not something for me to teach them. That is part of the relationship between them and Jesus. We teach them about setting the altar because they have a need to know where things go and the liturgical colors. And then that enables you as a parent to go through these things with them at Mass. You can talk about the chalice and the paten. You can talk about why the priest is wearing purple or green, and they know why. And they can talk to you about that. So those are some of the things at the level one area that we have materials with and how we incorporate the different themes. Does that make sense?
That's really cool. So then talk about the second and third level.
Okay. Level two is for the 6 to 9 child, and the 6 to 9 child is very different than the 3 to 6 child. I have a group of kids at St. Luke's currently that is in kindergarten. So they are all starting to turn 6 before the COVID virus. And so you could see the changes that they were starting to make, how they were becoming level two children. A level two child is very much focused on themselves in relationship to others. That's why you often see an increase in tattling. They're saying they're trying to figure out the rules. the trying to figure out, okay, well, you said we couldn't watch TV, but Tommy has the TV on. So they're telling you that because they want to see, can we have the TV on? Can we not have the TV on? They can understand abstract thoughts and time concepts. One of the things we do in level one is we only teach about the New Testament because they can't understand the concept of the Old Testament because they don't have the ability to do abstract thoughts. The 6 to 9 child is more detail-oriented. They're becoming ready to read. They understand history. And they're no longer interested in doing things just to learn how to do them. So while we would have polishing in the first level just to learn how to polish, in the second level we would only have polish if they were going to clean the chalice, or we would only have window cleaning if they were going to clean some glass somewhere, taking care of plants, arranging flowers, because they would then be decorating the altar with the flowers. So the level two child is interested in learning very different things religiously also. He sees Jesus as the true vine because everyone is interconnected. Love is unconditional and forgiving, and so they learn things about the forgiving Father, which is what we call the prodigal son, the found coin as opposed to the lost coin, reconciliation, maxims. Because the child in level one develops a loving relationship with God, they see the maxims not as imposed on them, but as how they should react, how they should be if they want to be in relationship with God. So it's not a morality that you're imposing upon them. It's how to live in relationship with God, which is a very different experience than
thou shalt not. And I think that's more of a problem that we have in our culture right now in terms of the church, is that we've kind of skipped over that loving relationship and went right to the maxims. Now, we only have about 6 minutes left, or actually 5, so can you move to level 3, or finish up 2 and then go to 3?
So another thing about, two more things about the level 2 child, they learn about the history of the kingdom of God. So they learn about the three main moments of the world, the creation, the redemption, and the parousia. And that's the theme that we'll build on in level 3. They also learn the synthesis of the Mass. So in level 1, the child learns gestures like epiclesis. They learn the sign of peace. They learn how to prepare the chalice. Those are all gestures that become part of the Mass. And so in level 2, they bring those all together in a work called The Synthesis of the Mass. The Synthesis of the Mass results in them being able to create their own missal that they can then take to Mass. And it's during the level 2 child that First Communion and Reconciliation are done, and there's specific works for the sacramental preparation. Level 3 child, again, is in a different place, but not quite as drastically as the 3 to 6 child. The level 3 child is working on creating his adult identity. She is in relationship with God as a collaborator. She or he is called to do a work specifically based on the gifts that she has been given. So she is invited to look at what gifts she has received and to write what we refer to as the blank page, how she is going to work with God going forward.
Karen, we're talking with Karen Webb, and I want to ask you, what age level are we talking about in level 3?
Level 3 is 9 to 12.
Okay. So this is where they're developing their, knowing their gifts and their, you know, adult identity. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct. So there's a need for love that invites them as a person and enables them to be service. This age child is also looking for role models or heroes, and so there's the opportunity to look at the saints and see those sorts of things. There's a more advanced morality, so we introduce different moral parables at this point. We have the 10 bridesmaids, the wedding banquet, and the reason these are slightly different is because they talk about the concept of being shut out. The 10 bridesmaids, the foolish ones cannot come in. That's a very scary concept for a 6 to 9 year old child. But at a 9 to 12 year old, they understand that nobody can build their relationship with God except themselves. There's also a greater depth.
We're just about out of time. We only have a couple minutes left. What have you learned, I guess, what have you taken away in all this as you've done this and how it helps young people? And then what are some resources people can get more information on this?
Sure. I guess one of the things that I consider key to this is, what does the child need to develop his or her relationship with God? We are trying to develop a religious formation that is concerned with the child's needs rather than the adult's needs to fix something. So in CGS, the child then has the opportunity to choose what work they want to do. We may make a presentation on something, and they may choose to do something completely different. They choose what works because they know and they are guided by the Holy Spirit. My role as a catechist is to be patient, humble, to use as few of words as possible, but I also have to maintain my own relationship with Christ. I need to go to Mass, prayer, meditation. I need to prepare the environment for when the children are there. The best resource that I can give you is the website for the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, which is www.cgsusa.org. There are several very good books in their library that will help you. The Religious Potential of the Child, Listening to God with Children, and The Good Shepherd and the Child. Those are three different books. They're all based on by Sophia Cavaletti and Gianna Gobbi, who started this movement. And they all will help you tremendously.
Karen Webb, this has been very, very fascinating. I've learned a lot, and I hope our audience has. Karen Webb, a catechist of the Good Shepherd. So thank you so much for being our guest today. We're already out of time. I can't believe it. It went so fast. Well, God bless you and your work. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.